Eileen Saunders.
Jack Kulajewski.
John Fink.
Melinda Lewis.
Thomas Chante.
Chastity Hobbs observing.
I think that's everybody.
Great. So, Jonathan, I'll jump into what we have
Great, please.
today. We have three things to talk about today. The first thing is we looked at the list of articles that you proposed to be TA'd, and we have, with a couple of exceptions, we've gone through each of those, and we're willing to accept pretty much kind of like 90% of them, maybe 95% of them. We could share our screen and show you that list.
Okay, great.
While the screen share is doing that, I will be here solving some global
Okay.
issues.
Well, we're happy with these local problem solving,
Here
so.
it is.
Okay.
One that we do not have on this list is non-discrimination. We're going to have that for you today.
Okay.
We are holding off on appointment, non-reappointment. Run out of space there. Could you roll the list up, please?
Scroll
All right.
I get it's just it sounds like it's just those two you're saying,
Pretty
right?
much, pretty much. I think there's two, maybe three that
Okay.
we're still going to look at. I don't know what we're going to do with them, except for non-discrimination. Like I said, we have that today.
Okay.
So that list, but everything else on that list would match what you had proposed on your list. So I think we're good to TA that.
Yeah, that sounds great to me. Anything that matches what we have on there is great. We can TA that. And is a quick question. Is it okay? Do you Jamie, you might have the answer to it. Is it okay to DocuSign these?
I don't know anywhere where it says you have to have a wet signature versus an electronic signature, but Mike might know.
No, there's nothing that says that in the law. So we could probably arrange to have these DocuSign.
Yeah, I mean, I've done all that training and can do it. It was, I mean, I'm happy to send these via DocuSign if you want me to put that in the system, or I'm happy to sign these, sign it and attach it as we've always done and send it to
Yeah,
Trigger.
either way, FSU DocuSigns.
Okay.
Like when they put the contract together after it's been TA'd, we wet sign the TAs. But when they put the contract together, all the signatories do it by DocuSign, so I'm sure it's okay.
Hey Eileen, can you put things into DocuSign and route it? Are you on mute?
She's nodding. I see her nodding. Let the record show that she has nodded. Yeah.
Let's let Eileen do that, and then she can get the appropriate signatures, but also after the signatures have been, we can get the copies to the right people as well, if we can let Eileen do that.
Good.
But Jonathan, I wanted to clarify, you might want to look through the list compared to what you sent us, because there are some that we removed on what you had wanted to TA that we may not be presenting today, but we'll be doing so at a future date.
That sounds great. Yeah, I'm looking. I've got it here kind of on my screen, and so it looks like it's non-discrimination, non-reappointment,
Maybe appointment.
Ours Article 9. Yeah, and appointment Article 9. So it looks like three, yeah.
6, 9, 13, and I left definitions open 34 in
Okay.
case we
Yeah.
need add. So yeah.
That sounds great. Is the language at the top the same as ours about like we can still do
Yeah, I didn't change
Scrivener's
anything.
errors and
Didn't
things
change
like that?
anything to that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That looks great. We appreciate it. I like to think of this as a global solution. Maybe that's just my ego talking, but it
It's
may just be.
it is a global solution.
Okay.
So, that's why I'm at the Center for Global
Okay.
Solutions. The next thing I'm going to pull up is Article 7, which is minutes, regulations, and budgets.
Okay.
Just to put that, frame that up, you had made a proposal for a change to Article 7 by adding the words employee identification number to what would be in the records provided in the Excel format to the UFF. And actually, that information we refer to as UWF ID. Jamie found that we had actually already agreed to this, but I guess we didn't put it into the contract. So it's kind of like something we've already agreed to, but it was by clerical error left out. Is that correct, Jamie?
That is correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't yeah, let me look to see. Thanks, Jamie, for looking at that.
When we did the reopener, we both agreed to just fix the because you had already been asking for it, but it was not one of our each, it was not either one of our two articles, but we agreed that we would just, you've been asking for it, we've been providing it. So we did that when we did the reopener.
Okay.
It's on my part, so I'm sorry, it's just clerical error.
No, that's fine. If we go to caucus today, I'll pull up the TA document because it's kind of like one or two scenarios, right? Like if it wasn't written in that TA document, we'd probably need to sign this showing it in there. If it was like just a clerical error, we wouldn't I mean we have to TA this anyway, right? We
Yeah,
have to
we don't mind TAing this.
Okay. We just don't we want to be sure that we don't set a precedent that we have to TA Scrivener's errors, right? Like this would be
Right.
like TA as a status quo in that sense.
Yeah, well, but it is a the language is going to be different from what's current, so
Okay.
maybe
So
go ahead and
you're saying that we discussed it, it just wasn't memorialized in the language itself, maybe. In the previous language.
it didn't make it into the language. Yeah.
Yeah, Jonathan, when I was looking back at what we did for the reopener, Article 7, this was what was in the reopener.
Oh, okay.
But you're welcome to look as well, and we either move forward or sign it and
Yeah.
fix it this go round.
I think it looks great. The only small thing just on tape that we're clarifying is that if something's purely a Scrivener's error, it doesn't have to be reopened to correct a Scrivener's error, right? It's just a, I'm not talking about this specific example. I'm just saying in general, like I'll give you an example. Michael Wyatt and I noticed, in one of the articles, it's where it's talking about it uses the phrase exemplars, right? It's like teaching exemplars, and there was a Scrivener's error that we need to correct that says examples rather than exemplars, right? And so it's TA'd as exemplars, but in that case, we wouldn't have to reopen that article to change the word example to exemplar because it was just an error in transcription.
Okay.
Is
No,
that your shared understanding, Mike?
we got that. Yeah. We
Okay.
understand that. All
Okay.
right.
Yeah, that sounds great.
The next thing that I want to bring up is Article 6,
Okay.
if we
Before
could
you
pull.
jump there, I'll just say
Yes,
this
sir.
looks great. We're prepared to sign that. It looks great.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for making that correction. That'll be really helpful. Thanks,
Okay.
Jim.
Article 6 is non-discrimination. They were making some adjustments to the language at 6.1b and 6.2a and b, and 6.2a and b. And what if you look at 6.1b, 6.1b has a contractual obligation to recognize all federal and state laws, rules, and regulations prohibiting either discrimination or harassment. Then the rest of the language goes into some of those laws. We just think that's unnecessary language. And those laws change. New laws are enacted. So we feel comfortable that that first sentence standing on its own in that first section, I mean, that section B is sufficient. And then we have some changes in 6.2A and B, which is striking the gender identity language, leaving just sex discrimination as a protected class. All of these things come up through that general protected class of sex or not, depending upon what the law is at any given time. So those are the changes we have to six, just those two changes. Everything
Mike,
says.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Can you talk a little bit about the legal underpinning for removing gender? You're saying that sort of sex is understood as inclusive, but could you talk about the university's position on kind of like the legal underpinnings of this proposal?
Well, I beg it. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to it, but I think that what we're going to stand behind is federal law, state law, any local law, and our policy. And so,
No,
to the extent so any of those areas has protections under sex generally, encompassing gender or identity, maybe to the extent that they do, but we don't feel that that's something we should add to the mix because it expands, it may expand on what is the federal state laws.
and I think that's right, Mike. I think you described it exactly what we're thinking is that all of that would come under sex. And so that's sufficient to cover that. So we're removing that there. But sex, discrimination on the basis of sex will remain. That hasn't been deleted.
Okay, thanks, Meg. I know there was a interesting Supreme Court case where Gorsuch sided with some of the other about the determination of sex and its inclusiveness or not. Oh, go ahead, Meg. Oh,
There's some stuff going on in that area again with the law.
sorry. So we've been following the. Did you have a? I have a few thoughts on this. Did you have anything else, Mike, or did you want me to kind of give you some feedback?
No, that's it.
We've been following this pretty closely on as a, it's a debate about those inclusive of the specific categories utilized in non-discrimination. So that's a debate that's taking place legally, locally, nationally, et cetera. And protected classes, what constitutes a protected class? And so our view is my view, there's sort of two elements to this. Like, you know, so I've been chief negotiator now for 12 years, 13 years, right? So we've gone through multiple federal administrations, right? And we've both there's been times, so there's like the legal compliance component of this, right? A lot of times related to Title IX and others. We've gone through multiple iterations where all of our changes previous on non-discrimination have been adding in protected classes, right? And these are things that the university brought in, right? Of expanding the definitions of protected classes, right? And this has been, we do this, we've talked about this before broadly with the CBA about using language like you've proposed, where we say we abide by federal law rather than kind of chasing the changes in each law each time, right? You know, so there's an element that this is in line with what we've discussed and done previously at the table about the federal, you know, following kind of federal compliance guidelines, state guidelines, et cetera. There's a second element, though, that's really, I think, just a broader question or a broader conversation about non-discrimination in general, right? About how that applies in individual circumstances on our campus, our commitment to non-discrimination. And so I think that what we'll, I think if we take, when we take this back and kind of look at it, I think we may want to try and kind of capture that second part, right? Just in the sense that, like, we don't want any discrimination, right? It's like, it's not that there's only these specific protected classes, but we don't want, like, the legally protected classes of discrimination, but also we don't want any discrimination, right? Like, we want people to be judged on their meritorious work and their work assignments and not have any sort of element of their person, as a function of discrimination, right? So, I mean, that's something that I think that we're considering or looking at is how to capture, here's the legal obligation component, but also like articulating our values about non-discrimination for every class of person, right, at the university. So that's kind of, I don't know if you have thoughts on that, but that's things that we're thinking about.
I guess my thought is that there are innumerable number of classes of subgroups of people. You can, divide people up in many different ways, and it's only that there's a rationale behind selecting particular groups for protection, whether it's, a historical reason or societal reason. So that's why our focus is on those groups that have been determined by law to require that level of treatment and protection. I mean, we kind of discriminate in a lot of different ways every day, right? And some discrimination is just making a determination based on how you see the world, or in my case, the global world. So that's why, I mean, I think in our, from our perspective, we're focusing on those groups that have been determined to have special status
Would
legally.
sure, and I mean, we're thinking of like maybe just a second component that would articulate our campus values of non-discrimination, right? Because there's nothing legally that would prevent, to my understanding, there's nothing legally that would prevent us from defining like our non-discrimination clause like more broadly than like just what federal and state law. We can both abide by federal and state law and also articulate what our an additional campus vision of non-discrimination is, right?
I suppose so, but I guess that's something we certainly can discuss.
Yeah, sure, of course.
But,
Yeah. Would this language allow for, let's say there was no other changes. We only made kind of these changes, and let's hypothetically, like say federal and state law did not include gender identity in as a protected class under sex, right? So we have the language of sex and that potentially inclusive of gender identity. Let's say that federal and state law does not include gender identity in that, right? So essentially, gender identity is removed from a protected class, right? Would that allow discrimination? Would that sanction, would this language sanction discrimination based on gender identity in that, in a scenario where it's not protected on federal or state or identified on federal or state level?
Well, I mean, if any protected class was removed from the scope of the jurisdiction of federal law or state law, all of those laws, because there's many a laundry list of laws that have non-discrimination provisions in it. But if it were to be removed, then that individual would not have a legal cause of action to bring against the employer, right? So there's a, I guess there's a policy aspect to it, but then there is a legal cause of action liability side of it too, right? If you're protected by federal state law, there's remedies that you can obtain by going to court.
Yeah.
But if you're not in a protected class, then you can't bring that cause of action.
So what this is just a legal question, and this is just a conversation, right? As we're just So what legal recourse would, or what recourse in the, utilizing the CBA? I don't not like lawsuit, like extra CBA, but right, what recourse would a faculty member have if they, let's say all of their like sort of work assignment, et cetera, all of that has they've been doing, they're a productive faculty member. And they said, look, we're deciding to terminate you or whatever, taking we're discriminating against, taking action against you based specifically on a characteristic that's not a protected class, but it's not a function of their work, right? Or it's not cause like misconduct or incompetence, right? Like what would the recourse of that person be per the CBA if it's not a protected class, but it also wouldn't fall under any sort of all their work has been fine otherwise.
Okay, well, now you're asking me a legal question, so I have to give a caveat and say, don't rely on my legal advice. But
I say that constantly as the
okay,
non-lawyer is don't rely on my
good.
legal.
Well, I mean, up until a couple of years ago, the answer was easy. They could file a grievance, take it through an arbitration process where someone could, impose remedies. That's a little bit more of a clouded question now with the passage of the law about arbitration. Although, then can you have discrimination and not have a personnel action attached to it? That's another legal question. Maybe so. So maybe that's right in some context would still be available. I think the other thing is that if, a collective bargaining agreement is violated. Let's say there was a allegation of class discrimination, then someone could possibly bring an unfair labor practice complaint with the Public Employees Relations Commission, because in some instances, a violation of a contract term is an unfair labor practice.
Well, it's thank you, Mike, for that those thoughts. I mean, it's interesting though, because in to file a grievance, we have to cite the specific language of the CBA that's being violated, right? So if that language is, if that hypothetical, if someone is a member of a class that's not articulated in the CBA, right, then that grievance would not, would potentially not proceed, irrespective of our arbitration,
Well,
element.
yeah,
Not
that's
a defined
because
class, right?
that's because, again, going back to our perspective, if they are not within a class that has been legally determined to deserve this special status, then by law they do not have that cause of action.
So in that scenario, okay. So I understand. Thank you. I think I understand the university's position. I think what we'll do is like we'll take this back, and like I understand your position, right? I understand, the position on this, and I think that what, just to kind of give you a heads up of things that we'll consider on this, is about trying to catch, because we don't want across a campus, we don't want discrimination, irrespective of identifying classes. We just don't want discrimination at all. Like we want people to be judged on their meritorious work efforts and on their job performance and on all those elements. So I think we may look at composing some language that articulates that, our employment decisions are based on meritorious job performance, and they're not a function of individuals' person or their ideas or their beliefs, right?
Hey,
That would
Jim.
be, I'm sorry, Megan, go ahead. I'm
I'm
gonna,
so sorry to interrupt, but
please do, anytime.
there is language already in the CBA. If you look in 6.2A, it says, it's the last sentence, And it says personnel decisions will be based on job-related criteria and performance. So there is some language there already that I think is addressing kind of like your concerns. Feel free to add additional, suggest additional language, but there is things there that kind of touch on, I feel like, what you're expressing as a concern.
That's great, Megan. Thank you for pointing that out. I think that's exactly where we'll look, right? Because like,
Okay.
so for example, in a situation, let's say someone hypothetically was some sort of employment action was taken specifically based on an element of the person, right? Rather than job performance, right? That would be language that they could potentially pursue, being made whole in some way, right? Or pursue action based on that. So we'll look at that language specifically as a way to maybe capture this essence of what we're thinking about.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for pointing that out. My team, any other kind of thoughts or questions?
The only other thing that I would give you a heads up on is with regard to the proposed language at Article 17 on the expiration of certain disciplinary actions. We're going to probably give you some, we're working on some responsive language to that. We understand the intent of having a certain level of disciplinary action not last forever as a progressive piece of discipline. We kind of think that maybe it's whatever language we come up with might be better placed in the discipline article, because that type of document usually isn't housed in an evaluation file. So, but we'll get to that.
No, I think that's great, Mike. I appreciate that. I looked up we had talked a little bit about the FSU language where they keep it in the file, but they outline like the how long it can be effective for, right? So that something and probably better housed in the disciplinary action article as well. That's something we agree with too. So that looks great. We'll look forward to that. We're a couple of things. One of the things we're working on is in our negotiations in full book, we have some language about looking at compression and inversion, right? And considering that this time, we're working on based on some of the things we've previously done, like a formula about considering what constitutes compression, right? That we should have that at one of our upcoming bargaining sessions. Our instinct is not is to discuss it structurally first without applying any funds to it in our discussions, right? Just, because it, that and then to come in our negotiations and consider what would be kind of viable. So we should have that in an upcoming session as well. Did you guys have any initial thoughts on some of the stuff that we outlined? Because the most substantial article we put forward was the academic freedom article that had a scope of material about campus expression and academic governance and some of the any
We're
thoughts on any of that?
working on it, but we don't have something for you today.
Okay. No, that's fine. Okay, well, we'll get that. That sounds great. If Eileen wants to upload both that the article about both the TA articles and that secondary one about just adding UWF ID, we'll be happy to TA both of those and wrap up 70% of the contract.
Okay, good.
We're a little slower than our pace last time of only one bargaining session to do the entire but that was a reopener, so that doesn't count. That's
This is football.
So my team, any other are anything else you guys wanted to add?
Yeah, is there anything anybody on the BOT team would like to say or point out?
Hopefully, Dan and I can work on scheduling. It might be. Hopefully, we can get another session in before winter break. Would be nice.
I'll look at some dates. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. So. All right, my team, if you guys want to hop on caucus, we can do that real quick for before I have to head to class for about 5 minutes.
All right, and I guess we'll see you later, right, Jonathan?
Thanks. We should be all set. We appreciate it. Good work today.
All right, thanks everybody.
Thank
Does the
you.
Thank
Need to
you.
go to caucus? Are we good? I guess we're good.
Sounds like we're good.
Congrats to Dan on your promotion, Mr. Dan Lucas. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chastity. I appreciate it.
All right, thank
See you.
you.
Right.